shadow of your smile when you are gone. Will color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes, my love, and see
like it's a criminal act to talk over the impossible voice of Astruz Gilberto. One of Brazil's greatest exports of all time, certainly in a musical direction. So yesterday I mentioned that I did literally nothing. I laid on the couch with cats.
Yep.
Might have run a load or two of laundry. But I also spent the entire day listening to music. And I have a very, very... It was weird. I dug deep into the archive, and I have a pretty rich vein of this sort of bachelor pad type music. Astrud Gilberto's The Shadow of Your Smile. It's no Girl from Ipanema, but I'm telling you, this record, top Beautiful. To bottom, is unbelievable. My name is Brian Oak. It's The Brian Oak Show, episode 383. That is the jet setter, Sean Bernard, freshly back from Las Vegas, and we'll talk about that in just one
All
moment.
Right.
But before we dive into your misadventures in Sin Ooh. City, let's go ahead and thank Smart Start MN. We're in the Smart Start MN studio. Smart Start MN, Minnesota's original ignition interlock company. You drink, you drive. A, you're an idiot, and B, now you need to not be an idiot and get your life back on track, all right? You need to put it back together, and you could do it quicker and for less money than you might expect if you check out our friends at Smart Start MN.
Yeah, go to smartstartmn.com/TheBrianOakShow. That'll get you 20% off the installation of the ignition interlock.
Doohickey.
Yeah, that thing.
I miss it when you don't say doohickey. I also want to thank OA, Design Build Architecture. What did I say last time? OAC?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, no, that's a person I wish was our president.
Yes.
OA Design Build Architecture do high-end work. They do great work. They do, from the smallest to the biggest, there's nothing they can't do, but they are going to do quality work for you. They really do design, build, and...
Architect.
Thank you very much. Where can people find that video of you and I wandering the Pillsbury Mansion?
Well, you can find it at thebrianoakshow.com. The other thing I should mention is they have gone into the future. They have a new website.
Go on.
And it's very cool. It literally just launched last week, oadesignbuild.com.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool website with all their different work that they're doing and that sort of thing. And we're planning our next video of another project. So I've been going back and forth with Michael Anschel, the owner over there, and we'll get that set up soon. But go to oadesignbuild.com if you or somebody you know is thinking about a project. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It could be, we really want to do this in the fall, but the time to plan is now. So get a hold of them at oadesignbuild.com.
We have a great guest on the way, a guest who's joined us several times in the Smart Start MN
studio. I'm just going to say it out loud. I love her. I love her.
She has an unparalleled energy and vibe.
Yes.
And also apparently a brand new record, touring the world, going to literally set the world on. 2024 is the year of Courtney Yasmine, and I'm calling it right now, and we'll
Thank
talk
you.
To her just ahead. But first, Sean Bernard, you just got back from Las Vegas. I know you were there on a conference, but let's be honest. Vegas, there's a reason they call it Sin City. There are things to lure you to the darker side of life at every corner. How debauched was your recent visit to Las Vegas?
Well, I asked my wife, I said, is it okay if I cheat up? And she said,
wow!
and she said, no, that's not. So
shocking.
Not that I could cheat up. I mean, at this point.
Well, you never know. It's Las Vegas.
That's
man.
True.
Anything
that's
can
true.
Happen.
It's the right kind of cash, maybe credit. You know, there's a lot of things you can do.
And somebody ate Long Island iced teas into
the night. Oh, that's a good point. I forgot
Anything.
About that.
Anything.
Yeah.
As long as you don't mind kissing someone who tastes like the floor of a shitty club at the top of a casino.
No, none of that happened. But we, after the conference was over, we had a great time. Went to see Beatles Love, the Cirque du Soleil show.
Yeah.
And saw...
Was it expectedly Cirque du Soleil brilliant?
Yeah, I had never seen a Cirque du Soleil show. And that's a show I'd wanted to see for years.
Right.
Yeah. And I absolutely loved it. It was mesmerizing. I almost wept. Brian Oak-like. I almost wept during it because I was so. It was so beautiful. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It was just this beautiful, beautiful thing that was happening in front of us of, with people that were doing things that I could never do with my body, even in, on my best days.
Yeah.
Watching them spin and twirl and defy death and gravity and all those sorts of things.
And just like drop 20 feet and someone else catches you. Like, it's not regular trapeze stuff. This is, these are people, these are world-class Olympian-level athletes, but that also have an artistic flair to them.
Yeah, and we also saw a band. Believe it or not, I went to an Irish pub while I was there. And
wait, what, you?
Yeah, actually tried a few of them. Some of them had like an hour-long wait, so I wasn't dealing with that. But went to see this band called the Black Donnellys out of Dublin. They had a residency there for 10 years at the Temple Bar. So if you've ever been to Dublin, you've probably been to Temple Bar. They've now had a residency in Vegas for 10 years, and they created a documentary. But I go watch this band, and I'm like, who are these people? Like, this is not what you see in an Irish pub in Vegas. And they were only doing a few typically Irish songs, and the rest were covers and their originals, which I liked all of it. Quick side story, the lead guitarist is phenomenal. He literally set a record, a world record, Guinness World Record for guitar playing, played 174 hours in a row.
Oh, my God.
Of guitar playing.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds like Guantanamo Bay. Why would you want to do that?
And their last documentary was called, or is called, This Is My, or the An Irish Story, This Is My Home, about their 60 shows in 50 states in 40 days. So that's on Amazon Prime. But then the lead guitarist comes over and has a pint with us, and we chatted with him for way too long during one of their breaks. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, Mike Mills from REM came to the show to watch me one day. And then the other day he said, I look over in the other room and there's Dave Matthews there just watching, came up to speak with me afterwards to watch me. He goes, I just heard about you and heard about your playing, so I thought I'd come over and watch you play.
And this was in Vegas? Did both those things happen?
Yeah, here's a funny story about Mike Mills. Wouldn't quit asking him about how much money they made at the gig.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm not going to share all that stuff, but it was just kind of funny. Like, what an awkward. He was so mesmerized with those days because they didn't have those days for very long before they hit it big.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's how it works now. He's like, yeah, that's how it works. So go check out their documentary. It's on Amazon Prime if you have that. And this is one of their songs, and that's called This Is My Home.
Somewhere in here, my heart holds the time for those passing years, in all of its glory and all my fears, finding no ending, no frontiers. Letters and cards from those who I've missed and right from the start, the ones who I've kissed and broke their hearts. Look at me now when I walk right back to the place in my heart. This is my home, and I've been away for far too long from my home. Coming back now, the bad feeling's gone from my home, where the love is, in my home again. Not and cry a tear for the crocodile, but I'm not crying now, cause I'm not them, and this you're not me. I won't change for anyone. How can you hear the sound of those voices singing across these foreign skies? Await your return, but to their demise. Walking in circles, oh why, oh why, oh why, cause this is my home, and I've been away for far too long from my home. Coming back now, the bad feeling's gone from my home, where the love is, in my home again. To fight. brace yourself, but you're not gonna give in. And you're crying inside, and it's so hard to hide the way that you really are feeling. And here's something I believe in. Cause this is my home, and I've been away for far too long from my home. Coming back now, the bad feeling's gone from my home, home where the love is in my home again. This is my home, and I've been away for far too long from my home. Coming back now, the bad feeling's gone from my home, home where the love is in my home. I'll stay for the rest of my days. This is my home.
That was gorgeous.
Wasn't it?
So it was really nice.
Yeah, the lead singer. So I just like, how have you maintained your voice over all the years? Because he's between our ages. And
okay.
I was just like, God dang it. I mean, they write great songs, they play great instruments, and they're just passionate dudes. So it was really cool seeing them.
Well, and that's one of those classic experiences where you go in not really knowing what you're going to get. And instead of just average, you get your head blown off.
Yeah, and I just sat there staring and enjoying it, and then also missing Ireland because I've been there four times and I love it there. And of course, we have a ton of friends over to see Terry Walsh and the Belfast Cowboys over in Belfast right now.
Playing in Belfast.
Oh, man, do I wish I was there.
That's so cool. I love those guys.
Yeah, they're great.
There's a huge Minnesota contingent over there right now, and they keep posting pictures reminding all of us that we're stuck here in gorgeous South Minneapolis during the springtime of 2024. Speaking of springtime, someone in this room is about to get very, very, very busy. Has been busy, but is about to get considerably more busy. Courtney Yasmine is our guest, and she's been in several times before, but it's always great to see her. As Sean attested to earlier, there's not really a parallel. There's not really anybody with her kind of energy or her particular expressive nature. Courtney, hello.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
I love you guys. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you in. With so much to talk about, I'm not really sure where to start. you've been writing music. You always have been writing music, obviously.
Yeah.
As a transplant from long ago, we've talked about your backstory before.
Right.
But I want to talk about your right now, because it seems very, very busy. You've got a new album on the way, correct?
Yes. It's all recorded. It's ready to go. I'm taking it to Nashville next week before anybody hears it.
And so are you shopping it around? Or are you having it? Really?
Yeah. I mean, what the hell?
Well, exactly right. No.
I got nothing to lose.
I'm digging through your Facebook right now, and I said, you better not make me cry with any of your songs. And then I read one of your posts where it said, fortune favors the brave. I may never make it, but at least I will die trying. So are you going to play us songs off the new record today?
Yeah, I'm going to play you three brand new songs.
Wow. Okay. Before we get to that, though, then a little background. At some point, when a record starts to form, I mean, I'm sure you're always writing songs, always futzing around on the guitar. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, then a theme strikes or lightning strikes, right? And you start doing a thing. Yep. What was the impetus for deciding, I'm putting out a whole brand new record?
Well, you know, the last record I put out was Red Roses and Cowgirl Dreams, which is kind of like a Nashville skyline type of a mentality. And I wrote that during the pandemic. And then I came out of all that. And last year, I really didn't know what was going to happen to me. Like, I was sort of unhappy with everything. And I was doing a restaurant job. And I wasn't really happy about, I don't know, nothing. And I went to counseling. The restaurant gave free counseling sessions for Christmas to all their employees.
Like right in the back booth? Or did you go to a place?
Right. And so I took them up on that.
A trade deal?
And I got like six free sessions. And this woman said to me, listen to your body and put your body first. And I was like, if I put my body first, I'm going to quit this restaurant job. And she was like, well, put your body first.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was always doing music the whole time, as you know. But and I wrote my first song when I was 10. So I've always wanted this. I've always done this. But I've given up every time. I've given up every single time that I've tried. It got too hard. I got too scared. Something bad happened. And so here it was again. Oh, God, I'm going to try again now at this point. I'm going to like really throw in hard on it. And
so what was the tipping point?
Happened.
Why did you decide to do that? I mean, there's got to be.
Because my body hurt really bad from working the five shifts at the restaurant and the money wasn't working out. I wasn't free. I didn't feel independent and free. And the gigs I was playing felt like there was a glass ceiling on everything I was doing musically. And so the whole thing just felt like a prison or a cage or something of probably my own creating. I had put the glass ceiling on it. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm too old, whatever. A million things.
That's all BS. And right?
And so then I just went, fuck it all.
Excellent.
Well done.
Which you have to do because, I mean, our lives are very short. And at some point, it's success is measured by so many different metrics. And to me, satisfaction and being able to sleep at night are the first level of success. Sure, I would love it if all three of us came over here on our speedboats today. That would be great, but that's probably not very likely. But who knows? Here's to you making speedboat money on your new record, so we don't know when the new record's going to be out, because you're going to go shopping around. You're going to see if people sniff and take a little bite.
Yeah, and if not, then I will do what I've always done. I'll put it out independently, probably in June. Of this year. You know, I'm not going to waste any time.
Right.
And there's a little book that I wrote that goes with it, and I'm going to print up the little book myself. And the book, it's 11 songs because that's like my 11-11 lucky thing.
Right.
And so it's 11 songs. So it's going to be, the book is, I already wrote the book. It's 11 chapters, and each chapter is the name of the songs in the list, in the order of on the album. And the name of the book is the same name as the album. And then it's the lyrics to the song are typed up by moi. And then I write a little, like several pages about how the song, not like the writing of it, but like what was going on in my life.
I wish that came with every fucking record.
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
be awesome.
It's the coolest thing I've ever done in my whole life. I had so much fun doing it. And I just like knocked out the 11 chapters. And I really love it. So my plan is to print that up and have it on the merch table with the album.
Fabulous. Now, I think we don't get to know what the book is called or the album is called yet because it's shrouded in mystery. But that being said, you are going to be providing these songs to people well before the album comes out, because in just a few short days, you're heading out on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to Nashville. And I have stuff booked every single day that I'm there, which is bizarre. Nothing like that's ever happened to me in my life. And I've never been to Nashville in my whole life. I was too scared. Everyone tells you this thing. I don't know if everyone tells you this thing, but I've always heard this thing about the day you arrive in Nashville with your guitar, everyone else is getting off the bus in Nashville with their guitar. So it's hopeless. Like, that's always been
bullshit.
The narrative to me.
Yeah.
So I was always like, well, I'm not going to let that happen to myself. I'm never going to Nashville.
Right.
And now I'm going.
Well, congratulations.
Why not?
Good luck. And then you're also going to be touring around later on this year. But before you go, is this the premiere of this song anywhere live before? Have you played this song live before?
I've played this song live to my fans. Like, I've done a lot of house concerts in the last few months. And so my fans know this song. And so this is, you know, I know how this song lands for people.
Oh, this is the part where I cry, isn't it?
I don't know.
Damn it.
I don't know. It might not be a crier.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, obviously you don't want to divulge everything and you're taking this to Nashville and you don't want to give away all the secrets yet, but tell me a little bit about this song and how it threads into the overall expression of your new record.
This is the song that sort of started the process of the album, because once I wrote this, then it was what do they say? Like, the gloves are off. Once I wrote this one, there was nothing I couldn't say. And it just gets grittier from here. But this one, it was sort of like the bottom of the deep end of the pool. And so I wrote this, and then I just went, okay, I'm free. I can write anything I want now.
What an amazing feeling. Let's hear it. Here's Courtney Yasmina on The Brian Oak Show.
What's it called?
It's called Even If. Even if I've been a rolling stone, even if I've been nothing on my own, I would have found a way back into your heart again. Even if I'd been a total faker, even if I'd been nothing but a taker, I would have found a way into your heart. I've been living at your house for going on 6 years now, but nobody knows what that's all about. It's like we're living in a loveless marriage. It's like we're driving a horse and carriage, like two old folks who don't believe in love. Even if I've been a rolling stone, even if I've been nothing on my own, I would have found a way back into your heart again. Even if I've been a heartbreaker, even if I've been nothing but a taker, I would have found a way into your heart. And maybe you don't believe love comes along only once in a lifetime. And maybe you don't believe you gotta use it or you lose it. And maybe you don't see how this love is killing me. Don't lock me up alive in a casket out back and throw away the key. 'Cause I still believe, even if I've been rolling stone, even if I've been nothing on my own, I would have found a way back into your heart again. Even if I've been a heartbreaker, even if I've been nothing but a taker, I would have found a way into your heart. And you keep telling me I'm so hard to live with. You say I'm arrogant, selfish, relentless, and cruel. And you keep telling me I used up all the chances I had with you. But if we're never gonna love again, I don't wanna just be friends. Please give me one more chance. 'Cause I still believe, even if I'd been a rolling stone, even if I'd been nothing on my own, I would have found a way back into your heart again. Even if I'd been a heartbreaker, even if I'd been nothing but a taker, I would have found a way back into your heart.
Is your entire new record that personal?
Yep.
Wow. Ouch. How am I supposed to listen to that? I'm already crying right now. Fuck you, Courtney. I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe
you did that to me. So you're back on the market.
Wow.
Sorry.
How?
You hear the song and it's like, well, you know.
Well, same, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. That being said.
I moved out.
Yeah. That's good.
I live in the basement of a church in Uptown in a little studio apartment. It's the first time I've ever been able to afford my own place to live on my music.
That's fantastic.
I don't have any other job right now.
Yeah, good for you.
That's the dream, right?
6 months. I've paid the rent on time 6 months in a row.
I am going to be moving into an apartment in less than 3 months, and it'll be the first time I've ever lived on my own in 55 years of life.
Yeah, man.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, man.
And I'm excited.
Yeah, man.
How do you get, does anybody ever, like, I know fans know who Courtney is, but like for other people who are more casual listeners, does anyone ever compare you to anybody else in terms of vocals, in terms of songwriting? Do you get those kind of comparisons at all?
Well, I feel like weirdly with this album, people who are hearing these songs are talking about it being like John Prine. And John Prine and I are from Chicago, both of us. I mean, we lost him during the pandemic.
Yeah. But,
I certainly have respected his songwriting greatly. And I do see that there's sort of like a little bit of humor and sort of a wink to all these songs.
Yeah.
And I feel like John Prine was that way.
Well, I don't think that growing up, I didn't appreciate, my dad loved John Prine. So growing up, I heard it constantly, but I didn't really come to appreciate it until I was an adult because he's so sardonic. He's so wonderful.
Yeah.
He can literally make you laugh and cry in the same song.
Yeah.
Almost every song. I mean, even when he's clearly being jokey and having fun and doing a rollicking good time number, there's still an element of melancholy to it. I mean, there's nobody like that. Well, I think that that's probably a pretty great comparison. Mm-hmm. Now, are you keeping the name of the album secret? Because I did just find it on your website.
It's not a secret.
The universe's beloved wealthy daughter. Is that correct?
I didn't know
because you said the name of the book is going to be the same as the album. Are we skirting?
Well, no, I just didn't know when we were going to drop it in the conversation.
Yeah. I looked on your website and I'm taking a look at the tour that you got coming up. Later on in the summer, you're just going to be touring. What's it like to be massive in Europe?
It's not massive, but it's pretty fun and it's working out. It's a delight. I honestly didn't know I was going to, I mean, the part of the, okay. So, I mean, the little book will tell you, you know, the book that I wrote for the chapters, but one of the things that happened was I thought I'll never get back to Europe because the only way I had done 14 European tours before the pandemic, the last one was 2019. But I always brought the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I could do it alone, totally alone, as a woman or whatever, or as a musician or anything. And I got this idea like, well, maybe I'd try it like in 2024 or something. And I started talking to my fans about it. And then I wrote to one of my promoter and dear friends in Europe who had helped me always with the 14 tours. And she just wrote back to me and just said, just come now. And I was like, I don't have any money. Like, I'll end up getting there like with no money. And she was like, just come. We'll have a concert like the very first day. You make cash the very first day.
That's
just
great.
Come. And so I was just like, I'm doing it, man. And some of the people in Europe made fun of me. Like, I arrived and I came walking up from the train, pulling my little rolling suitcase with my little guitar on my back. And one of the guys at one of my favorite record stores where I was doing an in-store performance, which I've done 14 times before, I come walking up the street in his town and he goes like this, "Oh God, Courtney, look at you. Did you walk from the train?" And he's like, "Where are the guys? What has happened to you?" And I'm like, alone. And like, he was like super disappointed. He was like, "I can't believe this. We're all so disappointed." And I'm like, okay, well, just give me a chance. And end of the performance, they rebooked me for next year. And now I have a bigger tour planned for next year, solo again. And I didn't see that coming. That's the truth.
Was he genuinely disappointed?
Yeah, he was. Many people were.
Wow.
And so there's a song on the last album, Red Roses and Cowgirl Dreams, which is really, I went to promote that album because that came out during the pandemic. So they had never heard any of those songs live. And so I had been pitching them that album saying, okay, when I come, this new album I wrote since I went in October. Almost all these songs were just written since like January of this year. I mean, all these songs are brand new.
Wow.
But they were inspired by that tour a lot. Anyway, there's a song on that last album that's called The Horse That Jumped the Fence.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a nice music video. So they all kind of knew that song. And in several towns when I arrived alone, they said, "So I guess the horse has jumped the fence."
Nice.
Oh, the cheeky Europeans.
Really funny.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in addition to European destinations and dates later in the summer, I imagine that you'll be playing around a little bit this year here, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe,
I got to make money, man. I'll do anything.
Right.
So, whatever. You want me to play in your bathroom for you? Sure.
Make sure the check is ready when Courtney gets there, right?
Yeah, it's got to be for the dough.
Well,
it's
the gig economy. I used to laugh when I heard that term, the gig economy.
Yeah.
And now that I don't have one primetime gig, it's the gig economy.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to make money wherever we can, right?
Yeah, so
and
I'll
you make it through the pain and suffering of human existence executed through that lovely, what color is that guitar?
I don't know. Seafoam.
Seafoam Fender,
right?
That you're rocking right there in front of you.
Yeah.
You going to play another one?
Yeah, I am.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so this will answer some questions and bring up more. This really did happen, and this happened in January of this year. Mama, I think he loves me, but I don't know for sure. I'm so glad you're still around, so we can confer. Mama, I think he loves me, but it's so hard for me to know. We both been burned by the man we love, but that was a long time ago. And Mama, he's got these sweet talking ways, kisses all over my face, buries his head in my neck, closes his eyes with a smile on his lips. When we're together, his hands are always holding mine, always holding mine, all the time. So I sit with my mother in the waning light, and even though she's 90 years old, she still lives on her own. And I love her more than ever, and she seems to have forgotten that she used to hate me, and that's fine by me. She says, "Honey, why are you crying? Did this man hurt you?" And I say, "No, not yet, but I'm sure that he's going to. And I should probably just end it now and avoid all the heartache and pain." My mother shakes her head, looks me straight in the eye, and says, "You're my own daughter, and you've disappointed me 1,000 times. And I may have disappointed you a time or two as well. We all hurt the ones we love. It's something we all have to learn to rise above. Why don't you stick around and see how bad it's going to be? And then you can decide if he's worth all the heartache and pain." Mama, I think he loves me, but I don't know for sure. I'm so glad you're still around, so we can confer. Mama, I think he loves me, but it's so hard for me to know. We both been kicked around by love, but that was a long time ago. And he's got these sweet talking ways, kisses all over my face, buries his head in my neck, closes his eyes with a smile on his lips. When we're together, his hands are always holding mine, always holding mine, all the time. So I sit with my mother in the waning light, and she says, "Don't cry, it'll be alright. Just see where this is leading. He may give you something to believe in. Mama, I think he loves me, but I don't know for sure. I'm so glad you're still around, so we can confer. Mama, think he loves me, but it's so hard for me to know. I'm so glad we had this time today, and I know how lucky I am to get to say, Mama, I think he loves me.
I thought you said the first song was the crying song. That was gorgeous.
Yeah,
and
that, was.
That's a real life, that's autobiographical from January.
Yeah, that happened.
Wow.
And your mom is still alive?
Yeah, she
wow.
is.
Wow. 90.
Yeah, yeah. She's still mean. She's still mean.
Yeah. Still ornery and cantankerous.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a reason you took off at a very young age, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I ran away, and then she moved from Chicago to Minnesota when she was in her 70s, and I got to make the joke, Mom, when people run away, the people who they ran away from are not allowed to follow them.
So tell me this. You're heading to Nashville for the first time ever. That's exciting. And again, I know that you have faced ups and downs in your career and in life in general, as that song would indicate. But I mean, what happens if you go out there and either nothing happens or it all comes together? I mean, are you prepared for that spectrum of potential that may face you in Nashville?
Yeah, I've had that spectrum of potential my whole life hanging over my head. And I think I've sabotaged things sometimes myself, because I have like a kind of like choke under pressure thing, you know? And so I've done things that are stupid when I've had an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I've also really, really done my very, very best and had people just go, huh, yeah, really not hearing it.
No.
You know?
We don't hear a single.
Right. Both things have happened to me.
Yeah.
Where I've really been like, I blew it. I sucked. And then there have other times where I've been like, I killed that. I was great. So, you know, it's in the hands of God and the universe and my creator. And I'll just say about the universe's beloved wealthy daughter is from, in my mind, that came from me thinking about the old hymn that I used to sing all the time. And now it's going to be the last song on the record. It's a public domain. Everybody's heard it before. But there's a line in this little hymn that I've been singing since I was in choir when I was little that says, all things are mine, for I am loved. How can I keep from singing? And for me, it's, I want to sing these words myself. I don't, that'd be wonderful if someone else wants to record them as well. But the idea that I'm not pretty enough or young enough or thin enough or whatever enough to perform the songs myself, I'm over that. I all things are mine, for I am loved. How can I keep from singing? I'm going to sing them myself. And another thing is, I've always been saying I was a starving artist, I was a struggling artist, and I decided to stop saying that and be like, there's massive wealth in my having my body of work of 8 albums with a 9th one coming out. There's massive wealth in me having my health and my limbs and my intellectual capacity and my heart and my friends and my fans and my children, my 3 wonderful children. I have massive wealth that I've been neglecting or not being aware of.
You know what's beautiful? When somebody is true to themselves. And when we reject that, it's the most painful thing to watch somebody that's not being true to themselves, which I know you went through that recently.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful to watch you being true to yourself, no matter what. Not for everybody else.
Yeah.
But for yourself to live a life where you're doing what you're passionate about, that you believe in, and you're doing it for yourself more than anybody else, right? Like,
absolutely.
You need to do this because this is your soul and this is your core. How the universe receives it isn't up to you, right? So you put it out there, you put the energy out there, and people get to respond how they want to, but you need to do it for yourself to be true to yourself.
Right. What I would say about the universe is that I think that the mystical, spiritual part of it,
yeah,
will always receive it well. And
yes.
So you and your co-conspiring universe or creator or whatever, you guys are good. And it's the other human beings who you can't do really anything about.
Because they're doing their own shit.
But they're dealing with
those fucking guys.
Yeah.
Right? But the human beings all can feel when something is divinely guided, and they do get behind it.
If there are people out there, and I know there are people out there, there have been for a long time, who are like, well, shit, these sound like cool new songs. I'd love to go see Courtney. Mm-hmm. What? Or listen to the music. Obviously, the new record's not going to be out until midsummer, so unless some bigwig at RCA Nashville nabs it up and says, you need to go back in and re-record it. Here's the string section. Here's the horn section. Here. Let's hope that doesn't happen, because I'd like to hear it in your voice. That being said, if people want to stay on top of the music that you've previously released, where you might be playing, not quite as far away as Nashville in the not-too-distant future, or the Netherlands, what's ground zero? Where do people stay on top of what Courtney Yasmine is up to?
It's just CourtneyYasmine.com. You see, you have to just be able to spell Courtney Yasmine. So it's CourtneyYasmine.com. And I know that right now some of that is a little like undercover, but that things will be more evident in the coming weeks. I do want to say that I recorded this album in my home church in Minnesota, and I recorded it just voice and guitar, and no one's changing that.
Yeah.
That's how it's coming out.
Love it. When I think about Nashville, there are people who buy songs, but it's a machine every bit as much as it was in L.A. in the 60s and 70s, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a machine. It'll chew you up and spit you out, Courtney, so I just want to make sure. But I'm glad to hear how stalwart you are in your attitude of like, fuck you, these are my songs, and I'm singing them.
Those motherfuckers. They have no idea.
Courtney is spelled like Courtney Yasmine is spelled Yasmineh. CourtneyYasmine.com is where you should go to stay on top of how she continues to rage against the machine. Before we call it a shift, I would like to once again thank the good people at Smart Start MN. Also, we have not checked in with my good friend Shumber. Sorry, man. When I start crying, I kind of forget about sponsorship-related duties I get in my feels, man. Let's get into Sean's fields, because you just came back from a week-long conference in Las Vegas dealing with, what you do for a living.
Yeah, it's crazy, because right before I left, I had about five people in that week reach out to me about either listing their place or buying a new one. And
of course,
it was crazy. It was a crazy week last week. It came back to a crazy week this week, which is all great. I look at it all with gratitude, because it allows me to live my life and get from one place to the other. The one cool thing is that the last donation from the home that was sold up in Duluth, believe it or not, went to Courtney Yasmine.
Yes,
so,
thank you very much.
Bill and Erica.
Thank you so much.
Bill and Erica. And I believe that's the second time you've had a donation.
Yeah, it's so nice. Thank you very much. It's from the
people that are fans of yours.
Cool.
That happened to be buying or selling a house through me. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. They moved on to Michigan. Had a beautiful property up in Duluth. Great family, great people. Hi, Bill and Erica. If you know of somebody that's looking to buy or sell, 612-859-2594. And of course, I'll donate a portion of every buy and sell to an area musician or band. We got some cool stuff cooking on the Brian Oak Show, so we'll be in touch about that here real soon.
We do, actually. We're
really cool stuff that we're working on for Patreon members, for partnership and that sort of thing, and Brian's got a little bit more time in his schedule now, so hopefully we can.
We've only just begun.
To live.
I'm so proud of you guys, and I'm so glad that I'm still in touch with you and that I'm part of your wonderful mystical journey.
That can't ever go away.
I love it.
Our favorite thing on this show is having true believers in. And regardless of what it is they believe in, you can tell when someone's got a thing. You can tell when you look in someone's eyes or hear the song that they sing that they got a thing. And so, no, you're stuck with us now.
And I love your book, by the way. And Bill read your book as well, the guy who donated. He read your book.
Nice.
Yeah, and so that book, pick it up when you can.
Yes, Girl Called Sydney, The Coldest Place. It's on Amazon. Courtney Yasmine.
Well, isn't it under a different name? Didn't you write it under a different name?
The on my, it's my yeah. name as the author.
Yes, but.
But the name of the book is yeah. A Girl Called Sydney,
yes,
because
that's right.
I didn't want it to be a memoir at the time.
That's
I didn't.
Right.
At the time, I wasn't telling things so pointedly.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, what I've found is I've gotten older. I give less of a shit every day about what anybody else thinks. This last time I got fired from radio, you know, people are like, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm like, it's the fourth time it's happened. Yeah. I mean, it's a drag, but I'm done getting worked up over that shit. Because you live long enough, and if you are resourceful enough and have enough critical thinking, you're like, well, I'm going to figure it out. There's an option. I've got to figure it out, right? And you get there, and you just get a little more comfortable in your old skin, in your own skin. Ooh, is that a Freudian slip right there? I meant my old skin. Courtney, I'm excited for you, because it sounds like your spring's going to be very active, and then you're going to have a busy summer.
We'll see.
Oh, come on.
It will be.
Not with that attitude, it's not going to be missing.
All right.
Let's hope for the best. And regardless, even if you go there and you run your head into a brick wall, you'll have done something you've never done before in your life, and that's go to Nashville and have gone through all the stuff. That's part of the process of moving forward. Sean, I hope you have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Great to see you, Courtney, as always.
You guys are wonderful.
Excellent to see you. And let's go ahead and wrap it up with another live track from the Smart Start MN Studios. It's Courtney Aspinay.
This song is called Real Lover. I got my fortune, I got my fame, I got my knight in shining armor, and I got my Prince Charming. And I got a closet full of all my favorite clothes, and I got a place where I can hide away where nobody knows my name. How did I get here when I used to live at the bottom of a well? And I promise you, gaslighting and endless fighting, three babies holding each other's little hands on the stairs, watching the grown-ups fuck it up royally, destroying everything they'd worked so hard for. And I got no excuses, I walked out that door, floundering for years after, obsessed with a vengeance, visions of decapitation like sugar plums danced in my head, and I pictured him dead, and he had it coming, but I'd be in jail now, and instead I'm living my life, and I'm doing everything right, and I can honestly say, I wish all the men well who got in my now. I'm a little angel, I'm somebody's darling, and my body finally knows what it feels like to be loved. And the truth is, you gotta learn to rise above. There, I said it.